Shiva Samaramam Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Ishvaro Gurudmeti Murti Beda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadhyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye Namaha Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Gocharam Tamagocharam Govindam Paramanandam Sadgurum Pranatoshmiyam Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana Om Paramatmane Namaha. Okay, so now Karma Yoga is love of God. And love of God in what form? Because it's bhakti yoga, it's dualistic love. It's Dvaita Bhakti, not Advaita Bhakti. Advaita Bhakti is non-dual bhakti, and Karma Yoga is Dvaita Bhakti. In other words, we're accepting that you're a person living in the world. We're not telling you you're the self. We're telling you that, but we're leaving the self out of it for now. We're dealing with the person that we think we are, with our psychological, physical person. That's the discussion. Okay? So, what is a, how do I, and it's a practical thing. It's karma. Karma means, what does the word karma mean? Action, activity. That's all karma means. There's three kinds of karma. All of those three kinds of karma are just activity, just movement, motion, change. It's called karma. In other words, karma is what's changing. There's prarabdha karma, sanchita karma, and agami karma. But all of them are just, prarabdha karma is what? The karma that's standing in your karmic account that's manifesting right now. Your karmic account is like a bank account. It's how much money you have in the bank. And then the money you spend every day is called your prarabdha karma. Okay? The things you do that day are the money that you're spending that day from your karmic account. The karmic account is called sanchita, and the portion that you spend is called prarabdha. Okay? And agami karma is the what? Is the karma that will accrue to your account in the future. In other words, that's money that's going to come into the bank when the actions that you're doing now fructify. Once they fructify, that is, once they obtain a result, once a result comes from those go into your karmic account and build it up again. But all of them are actions. The sanchita is the karma you came in when you're born. So you had so much karma when you were born. Before you were born, you didn't stop off someplace and pick up your karma. And then put it in a travel bag and then come through your mom's womb and then unpack your karma and start. It wasn't like that. You didn't have any choice about it. Ishwara manifested your body here because of your prarabdha. So you've already got so much karma in your account when you come here. Some have a lot, some have middling, and some have a little. The people with very little usually end up sannyasis. They usually go right into the spiritual world. And so on and so forth. So what can you do with your karma? You can either add to the sanchita, you can exhaust the sanchita, or you can just add as much as you remove. In other words, you can stay the same spiritually in any birth by getting rid of a certain amount, but adding, so your bank balance doesn't change. You can build up a huge amount of karma, in which case Ishwar will send you to another body, because what? That karma will require that you have another body to work it out. Or you can what? You can remove your karma so that what? So you don't have to be born again. If you don't have any karma in your karmic account, you won't be born again. So it's just a simple mechanical thing. So karma yoga is what? How to what? Relate to your karma. How to what? How to neutralize your karma. Why would we want to neutralize our karma? Why would you want to do that? So my karma doesn't bother me. Yeah? If you can neutralize your karma, it won't bother you. In other words, you won't feel compelled to do things. Do you ever have that feeling that you have to do something? You have that feeling? That awful feeling? If I don't do something, that dread, oh my God, if I don't do it, everything's going to fall apart. Oh shit, I'm late for this, I can't do it. Oh God, I put this, oh, that's awful. Oh no, huh? You didn't feel that? You don't have to do anything, actually. Your karma. You can do it like that. Right? If you know who you are. But if you don't know who you are, you can't do that. Why? Because your karma is going to keep on coming. Understand? So karma yoga is the way you neutralize your karma. And why would you do that? So that your mind is steady. We call it samatva. Your mind is equanimous and steady. Because what is it that's making my mind go up and down? My karma. In the form of what? My fears and my desires. When you want something, it's an agitation. When you don't want something, it's an agitation, isn't it? And so when your mind is constantly agitated, when you're constantly busy, how can you gain or retain knowledge? How can you do that? You can't. The mind's not available for learning, and the mind's not available for what? Retaining the knowledge. So basically, rajasic and tamasic people never learn anything from life. They just mindlessly pursue their desires. The rajasic people, they just mindlessly keep doing more and more things. And they never learn. They keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. They think they're going to get a different result every time, but they don't, because their karma determines the result. That's all it is. And they keep repeating the same action. You're only going to get the same result. Elizabeth Taylor, she had to marry like 6 guys. What? Okay, I mean, have your fun with the boys, but hey, you don't need to marry all of them. Okay, maybe you made a mistake and married the first one. But you do it 6 times? She's 65 years old, and she marries a guy that's 42 or something like that. She marries him? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with this picture? She thinks it's going to turn out differently, and then after a few years, what, he's gone too. Finally, she's too old to ever, I don't know, do what you do with boys, whatever it is. So I guess she doesn't marry a 7th one or an 8th one or a 9th one or a 10th one. That's how people are, isn't it? Keep repeating the same mistake over and over and over again, learn anything. Why? Because your desires blind you. Your desires, they delude you. They keep you from what? From connecting the action with the result. And seeing that, hey, I did this action and that I produced this result, so if I do this action, I'm going to get this result. They just can't make the connection, because as soon as they do an action, another desire comes up, and they forget what they did here, and so they keep doing more and more actions, and then what happens? So the actions keep fructifying, but they can't remember what action produced this, what result. Huh? So they're just continually disturbed, and they don't learn anything from it. It's a rajoguna. Tamoguna, people try to avoid doing everything. That's denial. They don't want to do anything. They're too dull. They're too lazy and too stupid, and they procrastinate. And then their karma keeps building up. And they just run off the same old pattern over and over and over again. They're boring, dull people. You know that. You know those kind of people. Totally boring, totally dull. They'll say, make a sentence. You talk with them, you'll make one sentence, and they'll talk for 5 minutes, and they'll say the same sentence 5 times in 5 minutes. They don't realize they already told you that. You read the newspapers like that on my Google News feed. Huh? They make the statement, Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. Yeah, okay, that's great. Now I know. Then the next sentence is they say Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that. It's the same thing. And then they go down further. The third paragraph, they say the same thing. They just use a few different words and they say the same thing over and over again. Means what? They're totally unconscious. You're either unconscious because you're so dull, or you're unconscious because you're so full of desire, you're unaware of what's going on, the connection between your actions and the results. So karma's just action, and action has consequences. I do remember we said this non-eternal jiva. The non-eternal jiva means what? Awareness that's what? Identified with the reflecting medium, with the mind. We said there's the reflection, the original consciousness, and the reflecting medium. Now, when awareness, pure awareness, is under the spell of Maya, it identifies with the reflecting medium, with the mind. And it thinks it's a doer. It thinks, I am doing. Now, what's wrong with that statement? What's wrong with the statement, I am doing, or I am going to do, or I did something? What's inherently spiritually wrong with that statement? I am doing X. That's three words. Four words. I am. We can put those together. I am. Because that would be the self. The I am would be the self. And then what? Doing. That's karma. That's action. And then what? Eating lunch. I am eating lunch. What's wrong with that statement?
Yeah, I can't. It's changing.
The I doesn't have a mouth to eat. And it can't eat lunch. And it doesn't need to eat lunch, does it? Because it's already full. The I's got a big belly. Huh? That's why they make Ganesh with a big belly. You know the Ganesh picture? Ganesh always has a big belly. What does that mean? It means the self is always full, so the self's not hungry. That's what it means. This is bhakti yoga. If you understand these beautiful symbols, if you take Ganesh as your deity and you understand the signals, symbols, then what, you can gain knowledge. The rishis who invented these deities in India did it consciously. It's a stealth psychology. It's the Vedas in code. And you don't know when you love that fat little elephant with a, you know, per boy with an elephant head. You don't know that that's actually a symbol of yourself. But it's so charming and attractive. Huh? It grows on you. And you start to become, you start to get curious. What's this about? And then you start reading the stories about Ganesh. And Ganesh's life and so forth and so on. Then you realize, there's something special going on here that Sounds pretty cool. I'm not quite sure what it is. In India, the deities, the personal deities are all, there's thousands of them. And they all have beautiful stories and so forth and so on. They're all Vedanta in code. It's a stealth technology. Very clever. The rishis, these are the rishis. That's how I saw the symbol first. You can interpret it differently. The rishis are actually above the gods, above the deities. The rishis are beyond God. Why are the rishis beyond God? Because they've got knowledge of God. That's why. You don't understand who God is except through a rishi. Once you hear the teaching from a rishi, that is somebody who knows the truth, then what? Then you gain knowledge of God. Ishwara is not going to give you knowledge of Ishwara. Because Ishwara doesn't think it's Ishwara. And Ishwara doesn't know you're a devotee until you make a squeak. Once you start squeaking, then Ishwara starts reacting to you. But unless you squeak, Ishwara just fulfills your karma. It just doesn't worry about it. Oh, the karma's coming in. I just have to fulfill the karma. I don't know who it belongs to. I don't care. It's all right. So Ishwara is not going to show you who Ishwara is. Only a rishi is going to show you who Ishwara is. Understand? So now karma yoga. Karma yoga is how you deal with your karma, with what happens. How do you do it? How do you do your karma in such a way that it doesn't disturb your mind? Because that's our problem, isn't it? What happens is karma. So what happens, all of our shanti, all of our peace, our state of mind is dependent upon, our happiness is dependent on our state of mind, isn't it? Yeah, that's why you're looking at your cell phone all day long, isn't it? You're looking for information that's coming in that tells you how to feel or how to think, doesn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, it does. That's what you're looking for. That's why I check my email 20 times a day. I need to know how to think. I need to know what to do. Huh? I'm getting my information from the karma. That's my karma as it's coming in. I got a lot of karma. So I'm famous, sort of famous, little famous. Not really famous. But a little famous. I'm more famous than people who aren't. So I got a lot of karma. Every day, my inbox keeps going up, 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 up. And then I push it down. I scrunch it down as far as I can. And then it pops up again. And I, no matter when I take a little karma away from it, another bit of karma comes in. So I'm just a running like. It's amazing that I can even talk and think, actually. But that's only because I'm the self that I can deal with this kind of karma. So I'm always looking at what's happening. And my feeling about myself, my love for myself, okay, we're talking about love. My love for myself depends upon whether I'm what? I'm handling my karma properly or not, isn't it? Whether I'm getting good karma or bad karma, isn't it? If the karma that's coming in is bad karma, how do you feel about, do you love yourself? Huh? Do you love yourself? No, you don't. Well, Tal does, but she's the only one. No, you think there's something wrong with you, don't you? You think you made a mistake, don't you? Is that right? You think you're not good enough. You don't know how to function in life. And people tell you there's something wrong with you. You got bad karma, man. Huh? You lost your money. Your wife left you. There must be something wrong with you. Isn't that right? You had an automobile accident. There's got to be something wrong with you. All right? What's wrong with that picture? There's nothing wrong with you. Karma. Karma doesn't have anything to do with you at all, does it? You're the witness of karma. So is what happens a statement about me? And when a lot of good karma comes up, then what do you think? God, I'm so wonderful. I'm so cool. God, I'm so cool. You see, I'm such a good person. That's why I have such good karma. Is that true? Does the I have any karma? That's right. The I doesn't have any karma. You don't have any karma. The karma belongs to what? Ishwara, God. You can do a perfectly good action and feel perfectly right about that action, right? Perfectly holy. You think, you know, the do-gooders. You know do-gooders? They're people who are trying to help the world. So they're good people. They're sopic. They're nice. They're kind. They want to love. They love the world. They want to help everybody. Do good. You know, you ever heard that saying, no good deed goes unpunished? Did you ever hear that? No? You didn't hear that? Oh, my God, what's wrong with you guys? Something wrong with you. See, my guru said there's something wrong with me. Now you'll feel bad. No good deed goes unpunished means good deeds can what? Owing to the law of karma, can produce bad results. And then there's the law of unintended consequences. That's one of them. The other one is a bad deed can have a good result. Can it? You can do something quite naughty, quite nasty, and it can have an incredibly powerful, beneficial result. Why is that? Because you're not the one who's responsible for delivering your karma. When, now look at, understand this. This is a subtle thing. It's natural that you take responsibility for your karma, but it's not necessary. And just like you should take responsibility for your vulnerability and your insecurity by becoming a devotee to God, you should take responsibility of your karma, but not what mindlessly take responsibility for your karma, but take responsibility when you understand what the Ishwara, what the God factor is, and how it is influences your karma. So talking about karma and action without talking about the giver of the results of your action, i.e. God or Ishwara, we said God is karma paladatta. Oh, did I say that? Okay, I'm telling it now. God is three things now. We've got another name for God. One name is what? Jagat Karanam. Jagat Karanam means the creator of the world, creator of karma. Karma in general. All the karmas are created by what? By Ishwara, by God. The other is Dharmaraja. What's Dharmaraja? The laws that operate the karma world. So you don't have karma without dharma. Karma yoga is dharma yoga. Because the actions occur in a field of rules and laws. So Ishwara also controls, sets up the rules, and controls the behavior of karma. And the third definition of Ishwara is, of God, is what? Karma pala datta. Pala means a result. Karma means the result of your actions. Datta means the one that gives. A datta is a giver. So God is the one that gives the results of your actions. Now, what does that mean? What's the implied meaning of that? It's not even implied. It's all direct meaning. It means what? I don't give the results of my actions, do I? Do you? Does anybody think they're responsible for the results? Sometimes. Yeah, come on.
Sure.
Yeah, you, yeah, you do. But okay, if you're responsible for the results, if you're the one that's giving the results, then why don't you have everything that you want? Hmm? Well, huh? If you, if you're the karma pala data, if you're the one that's giving the results, you know, if you're in control of the results, then what? You'll have everything you want because you'll do actions that produce results that you want, and you'll only have the results you want. You'll be happy, and you'll be in happiness through karma, won't you? But I'm doing karma all day long, and I'm not getting happiness all the time, am I? I'm getting some happiness and some suffering, so that means something. What? There must be, not for want of good intentions. We have another saying, you heard it. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Huh? You know that? You want to suffer? Have good intentions without thinking about them. Why? Because Ishwar is going to give results that Ishwar wants to give you. And it doesn't matter how good you are and how much you want things and how holy and, if Ishwara decides that that action, needs a negative result, it will give you a negative result. So, so you're not in charge of the results. You're in charge of the action, seemingly. We'll let you have that. We'll say, okay. Because you think you're in charge of the actions. When you actually start to go back, you start realizing, just a minute. but anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. So you're not in charge of the result. So Ishwar is in charge of the result. So what is the principle? Understand this, you need to get clear. What is the principle that Ishwara uses to determine what result you will get? Because now Ishwara doesn't give you a result because you got a pretty face. Okay? You maybe have a pretty face. But Ishwara can't, huh? Ishwara is not going to give you a result because you have a cute butt or a beautiful nose or because you have money in the bank or because people like you. Because Ishwara doesn't care about those things. Ishwara is not a big jiva in the sky with likes and dislikes who gives you results because you're so wonderful or gives a person other bad results because they're so not wonderful. Ishwara is only interested in the actions and the results because that's its job. It's not judging you at all. So what is the principle that Ishwara uses to hand out good and bad results to people?
The interest of the whole field.
Yeah.
Karma.
Did you hear that? Mm. The needs of the total.
Yeah.
Ishwar is the mind. Jiva is the mind that just worries about its own little world. Okay? That's called Jiva. Jiva is the person. The entity, it's a conscious being. And what does the jiva do? It just worries about its day-to-day life, my stuff. It just worries about my stuff. But Ishwar is the mind that worries about the stuff of everything. Ishwar is the mind that controls, regulates, and governs completely the behavior of every piece of karma in the whole universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the animals, the space, the comets, the black holes, you name it. If there's any object anywhere that's moving and changing, and all objects everywhere are moving and changing, and objects are infinite and they're everywhere, that whatever it is that controls all of those things is called Ishwara. That's a mind. It's the mind of God. It's a big mind. It knows it all. It creates it, it keeps it going, and it destroys it. It's a conscious entity. It's just not a personal mind. Jiva's got a personal mind. Ishwara's impersonal mind. And Ishwara, when you put, now listen, how does this apply to me? When I put an action in the field, Ishwara calculates the value of that action with reference to the needs of everything. Can you imagine what kind of mind that is? Can you even begin to think of how, what kind of a mind it will, that there's trillions and zillions of actions being put in every second, and Ishwara is calculating the value of every one of those actions in terms of the needs of the total of all of objects in the field, and is producing results that are beneficial for the total, not for you. So if my actions are useful for the total, they fit into Ishwara's will, then what? Then I get a favorable result from Ishwara's point of view. And if they're not, I get an unfavorable result. Ishwara says what? That action doesn't work for me. So here's one for you. Bam! and whacks you upside the head. Is that Ishwara's fault? Is that Jiva's fault? Whose fault is that? It's a tricky, tricky topic, isn't it? Who is it that's asking me about Ishwara, free will, and was it?
The boy here.
Oh, yeah.
The boy?
Yeah, I've forgotten your name again. Stefan. Yeah. Stefan was asking. Yeah. Why? He wanted the whole story on free will and determinism and fate, free will and fate in 5 words or less. No, this is why Krishna says in the Gita, because Arjuna asked Krishna in the Gita, I think it's chapter 6, he says, kim tad kama, karma, he says, kim tad brahma, what is Brahma? What's the self? And then he says, kim tad karma? What's karma? And you know what Krishna said? Very funny. Krishna is very funny. He said, about the topic of karma, even sages are confused. Even wise people, even very smart, wise people have a very big difficulty understanding karma. It's a nuanced topic. Understanding that I'm awareness, is that hard? Is there any, do you have to really struggle to understand that you're awareness? No, because you're aware and you know it. It's just a simple jump to I'm awareness. Because you know you didn't create awareness, and there know everybody's aware without awareness, and you think about it a little bit and you realize we're all aware in the same way, so I must be awareness. That's easy. It doesn't create a lot of conflicts, does it? There's no results involved in that at all. It's just a statement of fact, and you can work that out very quickly. And that I'm a poor suffering jiva, is that hard to understand? I already know that. That I'm a doer and enjoyer, that's not hard, is it? Because you know you're doing and enjoying and suffering all the time anyway, so jiva's not that hard to understand, is it? But karma, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because why? Because I always want an action that produces the result that I want, doesn't I? But I get all kinds of results that I don't want. Why? Well, because there's a factor that's controlling the results that I'm not party to. I don't have a inside track. It's like what was that insider trading? You know, insider trading on the stock market.
Yeah.
Huh?
You know something about the company.
Yeah, you know something about the company, the stock's company, and you buy when you know it's going up, when you've heard that they're gonna declare a profit and they just had a big luck, and then you buy and then you make a profit, or you hear that they're about ready to go out of business and you sell quickly and you get your money back before it goes down. That's called insider trading. Well, nobody's got, and everybody's trying to figure out what's going to happen, aren't they? Huh? Isn't it? Aren't you all worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day? I am. I'm worried about, speaking as a Jiva, I am worried about whether the Spanish government is going to renew my visa. So I'm doing everything I can do to make it reasonable for them to do it, but I still don't know. Maybe some cranky bureaucrat in the Spanish system is gonna not like the picture on my passport and think that guy's a jerk and no visa for that guy. He looks like a criminal. That's why I always smile so nicely on my passport picture. And just love the heck out of the camera, because if anybody looks at it, I want them to think I'm a nice person, right? Trying to control a result. But I don't know, do I? You don't know what's going to happen. But you want to know, don't you? Huh? See the problem? If you knew that you were unaffected by karma, would you care? No, you wouldn't care, would you? You may do what you do, but what? You'll take whatever result comes. So karma yoga is what? It's taking the position of awareness. It's thinking that that I'm an enlightened person and acting as if I'm an enlightened person when I'm doing karma. Now, how would an enlightened person do it? How does an enlightened person do karma? That's the point. He or she, the person, offers his or her actions, offers these actions, that offering is your worship. To what? To Ishwara. As what? As the karma pala datta, as the giver of the result. That's worship. My work is my worship.
A devotee of Ishwara. You would be a devotee of Ishwara for every action you put on.
That's right. You're every action, you're a devotee of Ishwara. You're a lover, a devotee of God, because you're what? You're offering your actions to God in a spirit of love. Why are you doing that? Because Ishwara has given me a great gift, hasn't Ishwara? What is the gift?
My life.
My life! Aren't you grateful for your life? Any second, Ishwara can take your life away from you. And you really attach to this life. You think it's very valuable. Wouldn't you want to, like, give something back to the power, to the force, to the entity, to the God that's given you what you value most? Can you actually ever pay back Ishwara for the beauty and the joy of being here and being alive and existing as a human being? Can you actually, is there actually enough you can do to justify the beauty of this, of this great gift that Ishwara has given us? This is a temple. The world is a temple. And I'm a devotee in the world. And my life is a holy life. And when I enter the world, I what? I want to worship at the altar of Ishwara. And what is the altar of Ishwara? Altar of God. The people I meet, the animals, the plants, the elements, the human beings.
Huh? The whole thing is Ishvara. I should have a reverential and grateful attitude toward everything and offer what? Offer my actions in love. That's why it's bhakti yoga. Karma yoga is bhakti yoga because I'm grateful. Understand? I'm grateful for it. Now, what's that going to do to my karma? My, huh? It's, yeah, it's going to reduce it, blow it up. Yeah, it's going to blow it up and then we get rid of it. It'll just reduce it, isn't it? Because every time I act with a greedy, grasping, fearful attitude, what do I get? Huh? I get the karma back again, don't I? I reinforce my ignorance. I get myself more tightly bound to the wheel of karma. When I'm selfish, when I'm only thinking of me, when I'm trying to extract value. Karma yogis are givers, they're not grabbers. Their hands are like this. They're not grabbing. Donald Trump's a grabber. Look at him. He's just grabbing. He's the most greedy, grabbing person. And have you seen a more disturbed person? His mind is going goofy. He doesn't offer anything back. Every second he's trying to extract some value from the world. And he's denying all the things, huh, that he's done that's producing the disturbances around him. He's totally tamasic and rajasic and has no sense of gratitude at all. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a great job. He's got lots of money. He's got beautiful children. All everything's there. He's totally unsatisfied. He got all of Ishvara's stuff and what? And he's still unsatisfied. He's a karmi. He's not a karma yogi. So a karma yoga is what? Because of my, is an attitude of gratitude with every action. And it's an offering or consecration of those attitudes. That's the worship. When you go into the church, you what? You offer something to God. You don't go into church empty-handed, do you? You bring a candle, or you bring a flower, or you bring some gift or something, and you give it to the priest, and they offer it to God, or you just offer it to God yourself. It doesn't matter. That's what you do when you go to church. That's the ritual. That's the Dharma. It's a beautiful ritual. Well, you don't have to go to the church to do that, because life is a church. This whole life is created by God. And it's a great gift, and why shouldn't I offer? That's the first part of karma yoga. Okay? That's the first half. Then the second half is, naturally, I'm going to be thankful when I get a good result, aren't I? Or maybe not. Maybe you think, oh, I'm a smart guy. It's all up to me. No, you don't. You don't let your ego grow because you've done a good action. What do? You take the good action as a gift from God, so you don't start thinking you're special. You don't start thinking you're wonderful because you're serving God, because it's normal to serve God. It's normal to do good things. It's totally ordinary and normal to what? To offer your love to the world. There's nothing special about love. It's not a special feeling. Your actions are your love.
It's natural to be like this.
It's natural. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's natural. So when I get something good, I thank God. I say, I don't take credit. I say, no, I don't want any credit, Lord. That's for you because you've given me everything I want. I don't want anything back. Just thank you, though. That's very nice of you to think of me. But it's really by your grace. So it's all on you. And when Ishvara gives you a a result you don't want, gives you some pain, what should you do then?
Also feel gratitude.
Huh? Also feel gratitude, shouldn't you? Why? Because just like mommy knows best, God knows best. Huh? Just like daddy knows best, God knows best. Ishwara knows best. Ishwara knows what's good for me, and Ishwara is whacking me to call attention to a problem I've got. What is my problem? I'm too selfish. I'm too self-centered. I have, To actually do what's natural, And Ishwara doesn't like it, so Ishwara does me what? Okay, take this one. So when you're getting pain, it means what? You're breaking one of Ishwara's rules. You're not what? You're not offering to Ishwara. You're trying to take something that doesn't belong to you. A person who takes the results, without taking them as a gift from Ishwara is what Krishna says in the Gita, is a thief. That's the words they use in the Gita. You're stealing. You're a thief. That's why you feel guilty when you do this. That's why you're disturbed, because you're going against Ishwara's dharma. And then he uses another, and if you keep those results and feed off them, then what does he say? You're a miser. You're so insecure, you're so lacking in trust in God that God has got your back and that God's looking after you, even though God has given you everything and brought you here. You're so insecure that what? You won't give anything back. So you're taking credit for something that belongs to somebody else, i.e. Ishwara. You won't let go. And this is how you grow. This is how you learn. This is how you mature. You're no longer a child of God. You become an adult of God. You become an adult. You become mature. You grow up. You do your duty.